This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and right next to me is an author, a scholar, Steve Ballmer's college roommate at Harvard. Yes, that's Steve Ballmer, the owner of the LA Clippers and the Microsoft magnate, as well as an author and a doting grandfather, as well as Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is also a swell dancer, loves kids and kittens, and is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It is Mr. Tom Raphael. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Jay. You're awesome. Now that the world's opening up and I have to make a lot of speeches in person, I'm taking you everywhere I go. That was a great And I get this question a lot about Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates. They were like in the same general area as me, freshman, sophomore, and junior years. And very nice people, very intelligent. And in those days, to get on the computer, where Bill Gates was learning things, you had to do it like at midnight through what was then called timeshare, which nobody knows what the heck I'm talking about when I say that now. But anyway, that is a true story.
Was Steve Ballmer as excitable as he was?
Yes.
Okay. He's a ball of energy.
He's a ball of energy, was then. And different. It would take a whole other show to talk about his positivity, volatility kind of index. In any event,
he'd be great on the show, wouldn't he? Wow.
He would be great. Maybe I should get him. Uh-huh. So, but we have an awesome guest today, Anna Brown, who's the director of research and analysis for Citizens Count. And Anna, of course, is a frequent guest on Jack Heath's program. So probably most of my listening audience has heard you before. But one of the things I've learned, Anna, is that on the weekend show where we can spend about 20 minutes getting into detail, people actually like the gory detail. So take your time and let's start with explaining what Citizens Count is. You know, I'm familiar with it in the spirit of transparency. Northeast Delta Dental is one of several bipartisan sponsors, and I stress that, of Citizens Count. And that'll be an important point. I know that Anna will stress. So tell us what Citizens Count is and how did you become the leader or director of research?
So Citizens Count is a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to providing unbiased information about issues and candidates in New Hampshire. And most people probably are familiar because of our election coverage, which is, of course, coming up. We have the primary, we have the general election, and roughly 1,000 candidates for the State House all the way up through the U.S. Senate in New Hampshire. So we send out a survey, we provide unbiased profiles with voting records, attendance, other background information. But we don't just do candidates. We also summarize bills in layperson terms. There's also roughly a thousand bills a year. So you can search them on our website, which if you've ever been to the state legislative website, not very easy to use, not very easy to search. So we try to make it easier for people to find those issues, zone in on what they care about, and make their voice heard. Because New Hampshire is such a unique state in that every bill gets a public hearing, and citizens really have an opportunity to be very involved in the lawmaking process. We have that quote unquote citizen legislature where you're paid $100 a year plus mileage. We actually have a podcast also titled $100 a year plus mileage. So $100 plus mileage is about those lesser known bills that might not get as much coverage, but still could impact you. So we've covered everything from whether New Hampshire should require embalming to tiny house regulations, to scuba lostering, to whether body cameras should be required for police. So we cover a lot of detail, and I got involved with Citizens Count starting actually right after I graduated with my Master in Justice Studies from the University of New Hampshire, because they had come to one of my courses when I was an undergrad, and I just loved this idea of sharing information to really make democracy work better, because that's the whole idea, right? If nobody has an informed vote or gets involved, then we're just giving up to, you know, that small number of people who might not represent everybody, who might not have the best interests of the public at heart. So I reached out to the organization and I have been with them ever since. This is going to be my sixth election cycle with them. Yes, I've been there over a decade. And so
I cannot believe you've been there. I cannot believe you've been there over 10 years. So the point, two points. This is a user-friendly website source. It reminds me of when I was chair of the State Board of Education, the Department of Education website had all the information. But as you said, And so does, to some extent, you know, what the legislators' website. But the average citizen, if you will, if there is such a thing as an average citizen, or the person who just wants to quickly go on, it was hard to dig it out. So yeah, we spent a great deal of time making a more user-friendly website, because people, through impatience or just have their lot on their plate, if they know the information is there, if it takes more than 3 or 4 clicks, they're not going to do that. So tell us how so two questions. How have you formatted your website so it's easy to retrieve? And two, for those of you on Facebook now, you'll see we have a wider range of companies, you know, that sponsor Citizens Count. And how do you make sure that it is not only authentically bipartisan, but optically bipartisan? But take the first question first. If I'm listening to this and I just want to go right on and, you know, learn, you know, the latest, how do I do that?
So visit citizenscount.org. And then our website is basically organized into two big areas. So we have our elections and elected officials section, which is going to be those profiles I talked about. And you can just select your town from a drop-down menu and we'll pull everyone up for you. And then you can click through their profile. So you don't have to know. I know even me in Manchester, I know my ward. I have no idea what house district I'm in. I know where to vote, but it's even I am going to use that website to pull up my candidates. And then we have another area from our navigation bar called Learn and Discuss. And that's where you're going to find bills, if you want to search that, link to our podcast, and topics. So let's say you're just interested in abortion, or just interested in gun laws, or just interested in affordable housing issues. You can click on that and it will pull together all of the big bills, recent articles we've written, more in-depth articles for you to really explore and dive into that issue. So that was your first question. We are also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. So second question was about staying nonpartisan and meaningful nonpartisanship, right? Because it's one thing to just say, oh, we don't take political positions. And it's another thing to really strive to have content that is neutral. So you did bring up our sponsors, and I think it's important to note that they have zero say over the content that we create. And the reason we have sponsors with their logos on our website is so that we don't have to have internet ads. We sort of have this terror, like, vision of, can you imagine being on a candidate's page and then seeing an attack ad pop up when you're trying to do neutral research? So for us, that's sort of the trade-off. And we're also really, like, proud of those sponsors and want to show that they support civic engagement, because politics is such a dirty word these days, but we're not about politics. We're about democracy. We're about meaningful engagement with your government, which is really your community. It's the lives you lead. And then internally, we actually have all of our staff take something called the Political Compass Test, which I also think, listeners, if you're the type of person who likes to take little tests online, check it out. You might be entertained. It puts everyone on a, like, 4-quadrant spectrum, from liberal to conservative and libertarian to authoritarian, which is basically more or less government involvement. And then the other one was like more socially conservative or socially liberal. So our idea is, it's impossible to be completely neutral. We're humans. We're all going to come in with our own biases and backgrounds. So it's most important that we are aware of where we stand, what our biases are. So then we can also reach out to each other and make sure we're constantly balancing each other, editing each other's work from different perspectives.
Awesome. And when Paul Montrone, who is kind of one of the founders of this whole concept, I know when he approached me many, many years ago, I was happy to be a sponsor and to validate what Anna was saying. We're involved with nothing to do with this, other than we feel like we're doing a service by having the website, you know, there. And Paul had made a big point to make sure that all companies were there. Some that are perceived maybe, you know, more left leaning, you know, Stonyfield, whatever, and others who might be perceived. And perceived is the word I'm using intentionally, more on the right, but they were all there. And it must still, though, be really delicate for you to make sure people understand that, one, these sponsors aren't interfering with any editorial content, and two, you know, that it is totally authentically bipartisan, albeit, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, someone might make a mistake, but the intent is total bipartisan, and that it's an informational website
Yeah. And by the way, to listeners, we always invite people, call us out. If you think that we're being partisan, if we're showing a bias, you know, maybe we're using certain words that suggest one lean or another. A perfect example is whether you say illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants. And by the way, on our website, we always say illegal/undocumented because we're aware even just the words you use suggest bias. So I always say, you know, whether you're an elected official or a voter or someone in an advocacy group and you see something and you think we can do better, then we want to do better.
Including, right, wasn't the original name Live Free or Die?
Yes. So that we were originally called the Live Free or Die Alliance, and we were continually confused with another organization called the Liberty Alliance, which they are very liberty-oriented, more kind of libertarian organization, and no shade on them, but we're not them. And I think, you know, if they ever got confusion the other way, maybe that was also frustrating for them. And so, yeah, the Live Free or Die, it's New Hampshire's motto, but there were other similarly named organizations. It does have a certain connotation. So we rolled that back a step. We did a few years ago. I want to say it was 2018 that we officially made the transition because we were trying to do it gradually. So we transitioned from Live Free or Die Alliance to Citizens Count.
Very successfully. I think I might be the only human species on the planet that remembers the old name. Just like Jay, when we were rebranding Delta Dental Stadium, you know, and we were spending a lot of money on that. And my concern was, well, you know, people in New Hampshire have a tendency of saying the old J-Dog house, even though it's been sold five other times, right? Yeah. So I thought people would continue to call it Merchants Auto Stadium. But when I do my own market test, nobody remembers what the stadium name was other than me prior to Delta Dental Stadium. And similarly, you know, with the Citizens Count, no one but a few of us remember the old days. So congratulations.
Some very vintage swag at home if anybody wants to get that secret swag.
Paul used to be really good with the swag. So citizenscount.org. Jay, looks like we need a little break and then we'll come back, right?
We will. We will take a break here on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. You've got Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, of Delta Dental, as well as host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm J-Dog. And the guest today is Anna Brown, director of research and analysis at Citizens Count. We'll be right back after these messages here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome back. It is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here on the Pulse of New Hampshire, I am J-Dog alongside Tom Raffio, who is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This week's guest is Anna Brown, the director of research and analysis at Citizens Count. And we're having a discussion about, we've got a midterm election coming up in 2022 and how the website of citizenscount.org essentially navigates all the politicians here in the state of New Hampshire about policies, about what their wards are. It's a complete handy guide to the entire basis of what your legislators or potential legislatures are thinking in terms of what their views are, as well as bills. As Anna had alluded to in the last segment, there's well over 1,000 bills that come through a year. Now, a lot of them don't get passed, but a lot of them are introduced into the legislature. It's a matter of getting passed or vetoed or not happening at all.
Well said. I'm going to have to bring Jay everywhere I go. And given that we're what, the third or fourth largest legislature in the world, right?
Fourth largest in the English speaking world. So in front of us, we have the US House of Representatives, the one in Great Britain, and then India as well.
There you go. I knew India was right there. So before I want to kind of jump off where Jay was ending, but I do want to talk about you went to UNH. Great school. And I often get this question from people. So, well, you ended up doing what you wanted to do, right? So tell us how that all happened. Citizens Count came to a class, or whatever. So tell us kind of what you learned at UNH. And I'm assuming that this sparked your interest. And that's why, you know, 11 years later, you know, you're still doing this.
Yeah. So it was my undergraduate degree was in political science. And so it was a course on state policy in particular. And so Citizens Count just came to present their mission. And in general, I find state policy fascinating because national news, when you're growing up, it seems to be the only thing you'll hear most of the time. And it's these huge, big, hot button issues. But most of those really interesting, sticky, nonpartisan problems happen at the state level. That's really where the rubber meets the road. And so I just found that to pique my intellectual curiosity. And I did take a little bit of a different journey because I did do a master's degree in justice studies also from the University of New Hampshire. And so that's interesting because it focuses not just on criminal justice, but economic justice and racial justice and restorative justice, you know, all these different concepts of justice. And I thought maybe I'd go in and get a law degree after that. Maybe I'd do law enforcement. But I ended up coming back to state policy because I just loved the idea of helping to build a better community right where I am.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So thank you for that. So, you know, we all heard the expressions, you know, every vote counts, every vote matters. Do you think this is true? And we all know that, for example, speaking at the federal level, Senator Hassan beat Senator Ayotte by just over 1,000 votes. And, you know, if that had been the other way, you know, probably this year would have been a lot different. So I think things matter. But tell us your perspective on that.
I love when people ask me this question because it is literally true in New Hampshire. Every single election year I've worked for Citizens Count, and as we said, this is my sixth one, there have been races decided by less than half a dozen votes. So it's not speculation. It's literally, can you imagine if just you and a few of your neighbors decided to go to the polls that day? And in fact, in 2018, Richard Bowden beat Gail Ober by just one vote in Laconia. And then you can kind of carry that through the rest of that session year. So in 2019, when that legislative office was happening, the House overrode Governor Sununu's veto that would repeal the death penalty. And that veto override passed by just one vote. So if just one legislator had changed their vote on HB 455 that day, we would still have the death penalty in New Hampshire. And I think we can all agree, even though there's only one person on death row in New Hampshire, that is a very important issue to a lot of people. And so the other fun fact about that one, so not only was it one vote decided in election and then one vote in the following session decided on the death penalty, but several legislators, or more than several, 35 total, changed how they voted on that bill from the first vote to when they voted to override Governor Sununu's veto. So what happened there? They were talking to people, you know, they were hearing from citizens, and whatever it was, a personal story or some statistic or whatever was shared with them, it made them change their mind. So democracy, I think we all get really frustrated when we look at the national level, the international level, things feel so dysfunctional, but you really can impact things and make a difference, even if you're just going to the ballot box.
And that leads kind of to the next question, you know, good examples of democracy working well in New Hampshire, those types of dialogues. And just as an aside about one vote, so the last time we did Dancing with the Stars in Concord, I've done it twice. I lost by one vote in the People's Choice, Anna, because a few family members decided, we don't need to vote. So
I guess, God, the betrayal.
There you go. But I think I won a category. But anyway, so I think you kind of touched on it, but maybe one or two more examples of democracy working well in New Hampshire. I think the death penalty override is a perfect example of discussion, dialogue, and result. Are there other examples like that?
Yeah. As I was talking about 2018, but just this past year, Governor Sununu signed a revision to the ban on abortion after 24 weeks. And that was specifically adding an exception for fetal anomaly. So basically, the baby is not going to survive. And this passed because of several courageous women who came forward and told incredibly difficult and private stories about a baby who developed a fatal cyst at the base of her brain, about the choice to terminate one twin to save the other's life. And many legislators afterwards said, yeah, I changed my vote and decided that we needed this exception because I heard from these mothers. So I think that that is a particularly prescient, very current story to keep in mind. And I will also throw out to listeners, one thing that I've heard from legislators and observed is that it is often our personal stories that are very persuasive. Everyone, you know, can Google and look up statistics that are going to match their story, which is not to hate on statistics. I think social science and statistics are very important. But you as a voter, consider your personal story and your personal voice. And so there are also people, another example of democracy working. There are many, many times that citizens have contacted a legislator and asked for a bill to get sponsored, and it has gone all the way and become law. So a kind of lighthearted one that I enjoy telling the story of was adding fowl, as in like chickens and ducks, to the state law against livestock trespassing, because this man was getting terrorized by his neighbor's ducks coming in and destroying his garden. And there was nothing legally he could do about it, because there was a state law that was like about roaming cattle, for example, or sheep or goats. And so that bill went forward, and then a whole bunch of people came out talking about they had problems with their neighbor's chickens too. And then here we are. Now it's illegal to just let your chickens roam into your neighbor's yard.
Wow, that's a great story. It kind of builds on my next question. So we have, we've got a beautiful state. We've got the fourth largest citizen legislature. We have a state where you can pick up the phone and get your federal delegation, get your local representative, and you know them like your neighbor. So my question is, with what you've done with Citizens Count, the website, and so forth, do you think that model could be replicated and scaled and used in other states?
Yes and no. Yes, because that is absolutely our dream. We definitely want to create this conduit, this bridge between people and government, besides social media, which just seems to be that both politicians and regular people to go on and do sort of like performance politics and just like make noise. We really want to create that constructive information sharing. But New Hampshire is a very unique state for this to happen in, because we do have that citizen legislature where it is. You've probably run into your legislator at the Dunkin' Donuts, the Old Home Days parade. And New Hampshire also has much less staff than legislatures in other states. So we have about 150 staff in New Hampshire for 424 reps and senators. And then contrast that like to Nevada, which has 600 staff for 63 representatives, or wow, Florida, which has 1,600 staff for about 160 legislators. So I think that all of that contributes to New Hampshire representatives really relying more on people from the public to help them learn about these bills and learn what should be happening. So we absolutely want to build a model that's replicable, but we also acknowledge that this is the state to grow it.
And speaking of staff, with all, as Jay mentioned, with all the potential legislation that's put out there, albeit, you know, most of it is inexpedient to legislate, what's your staff like to keep track of all this stuff?
We are small but plucky. So we have three full-time staff, including a director of technology who manages the beast of our website with thousands of records. Shout out to Ellen Nunes. And then we also have part-time staff helping us with admin and fundraising. And during the election season, we do bring in an intern to help us send out those roughly 1,000 surveys to the candidates and follow up by phone and email and really make sure that they know that they have this opportunity to reach everyone online.
Awesome. So since you mentioned fundraising, we mentioned our sponsors. How can listeners support Citizens Count?
We accept donations from $1 on up. And in fact, we're going to have a matching fundraiser challenge in October, which will basically double your money, potentially your donation. Since we know that election season, people rely on us. We hope that you can support our mission that way, and also spread the word. You know, we are only as good a resource if people actually use us. So we have a lot of information there. Make sure you use it. Make sure you encourage your friends and family to vote and make an informed vote.
And speaking from one, I have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of websites and data to look at. Citizens Count, user-friendly. And if you live and work and want to make a difference in New Hampshire, it's a must website, citizenscount.org. And please support Citizens Count by using it and by donating. Jay, back to you.
Thank you, Tom. And it's another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio wrapping up. And Anna Brown, we want to certainly thank you, Director of Research and Analysis of Citizens Count at citizenscount.org. That's the website. It's got everything you need to know and then some. It's your one-stop shop, as they say, for all politics, all local politics as well. For Anna Brown and Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I am J-Dog. We'll be back with another exciting edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.